When I think of your work, I think of your activism against sexual violence and about the Vagina Monologues, which is sort of this ode to an often taboo subject of women's sexuality. And so, you know, it was kind of a surprise to me to learn that your new book sprung from this deep-seated sense of personal alienation from your own body up until this experience with cancer.
Well, I think we teach what we have to learn and we write what we need to know, right? And I think it's a journey. I think the Vagina Monologues was part of this quest, and I think it was me asking other women about their bodies and then shaping literary and dramatic pieces out of that to examine our relationship to our bodies. And I think when I performed the Vagina Monologues, there were nights when I would be, oh my God, I just was in my body for a minute, you know? I would visit. But I don't think I lived in my body, and I think I look at my whole life, it's just been this search, this finding all the methods, ways I could to get back in. I often think that we write about what we need to know the most, right?
This book is about the 7 months of cancer treatment, the surgery, the infection, chemotherapy, but it also has these two other threads, one in which you recall and recount your own childhood abuse, and another in which you recall the sexual violence you witnessed and fought as an activist working in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Was it difficult as a writer to create an account, you know, one that's not very long, some 200 pages or so, weaving these three threads together?
Well, in a way, they were just organically connected. It wasn't like I was reaching for it, you know? When I was diagnosed with this stage 3/4 cancer, I was working in the Congo to open this wonderful, amazing place called City of Joy, which is a revolutionary center for women who have been traumatized and gender violated in the Congo. And why I wanted to live was very much connected with getting City of Joy open. And we are connected to the world, you know, inherently. I was exiled at a very young age as a result of violence from my father and kind of this, you know, remoteness from my mother. And I just never lived inside of it. And I think for all of my life, I've been really trying to get back home.
You talk in the book about a recurring experience you call the death thing, those sort of flashes of realization that, you know, oh my God, I'm mortal, my time here is limited. And for most of your life, these moments provoked a terror in you, but that actually changes after you yourself come so close to death. Do you have any counsel you can give to the rest of us on how not to feel utterly terrified when we conceive of our own mortality?
I think what happened for me, and this is the only way I can say it, is when somebody says to you, you have stage 3/4 cancer, there is some part of your being that really has to entertain the disappearance of you here. And I think a lot of what I was feeling before was I had feelings in me that and aspects of myself that I hadn't cleaned out. And so dying just felt like, oh my God, I'm going to die with this. You know, I'm not going to have processed this. I'm not going to have released this. And I think what was very liberating about that was that moment was like, oh, you're dead. You are mortal. It's going to happen. No more denial, no more illusions. Now you get to live. Now, and I think part of what I think helps get rid of fear of death is looking at, are we really living the life we want to be living? I feel like this is the life I want. I'm living the life I want.
Activist, playwright, author Eve Ensler, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. I've loved talking with you.